listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Prince.
Well, good day, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It is Sunday, May 31st, 2020. My name is Barry Prince, and this is the Big Puzzle Radio Show, coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia, broadcasting to the facilities of People's Internet Radio and being simulcast on shakeandwakeradio.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I've said it many times, folks, that we are a viewer-supported station. We don't get funding anywhere but from listeners, so if you can afford to throw a few dollars into the kitty for the stations, I know they would much appreciate it. I know times are a little bit tough right now, but any help that you can throw in, even a couple bucks here and there, would be muchly appreciated. I'm joined today by my good friend Roger Landry, and anybody that's listened to my shows over the years had the pleasure of hearing Roger talk many times. Always enjoy my conversations with him, and want to thank Roger for taking time out of his day today and joining me. And I really want to hit on what's going on in the United States of America right now. You thought it was crazy last week. Well, this week's a different story, and what's going to happen next week? Who knows? But thanks for joining me, Roger. And I really want to discuss what's going on down there in your country, because it's getting pretty crazy.
Yeah. And the whole problem here is, for anybody who has sat back and watched tyranny choreographed, not just in the United States, but across the planet, at an ever-accelerating rate over the last year, what we have seen is an agenda that has gone into overdrive, an agenda that has gone past light speed. Yeah, this is what we're seeing. And what the hell am I talking about? I'm going to tell you right now that anybody who's listened to the last couple of shows I've done with Barry has heard me say this. When everybody asked me, why did COVID-19 happen? It happened, I said, because global warming failed. Global warming was supposed to bring in global governance. It didn't. It failed. So COVID-19 was thrown into our lap. About the time, okay, this was failing. This global warming was failing. All right, you were seeing massive pushback starting. And now, all of a sudden, you've got COVID-19. COVID-19 is in the exact same situation right now. The CDC had to put out information the other day showing that, in fact, the mortality rate of COVID-19 is much lower than what they've been saying. Absolute fact. Okay? It is nowhere near as dangerous as it's being portrayed. And that at least 50% of the time, listen to me, 50% of the time the COVID-19 test is wrong. This is the CDC admitting this. The article's on the Liberty Beacon. I never lie. So here we sit in another situation where they have, and this went a whole lot bigger than global warming. This had most of the globe locked down. Stop and think about that. But now people are starting to say things don't add up. It's people like Barry doing research. It's people like Barry's guest doing research. It's people like me and the Liberty Beacon and all of the great people that work with the Liberty Beacon doing research and saying one and one isn't making two here. This doesn't work. And if the CDC has to step up and say, this is nowhere near as deadly as we thought at first and told everybody and scared the crap out of everybody, and our test is so bad that at least half of the time it's wrong, which means 100,000 people haven't died from COVID-19 in America. It is the biggest lie portrayed on the American people and the globe, and people are starting to get upset, and people are starting to push back. How many of you heard about the pushback in the United States for dictatorial governors who were closing the states down? And the people were saying, no, this is crap. We know better. This is beyond your power. You can't do this to us. So all of a sudden, we're seeing the exact same situation, but more compressed in time. Global warming was done over a generation. This was done over several months. What they did was lock the entire planet down, and as soon as people started to get suspicious and knowing for a fact and being able to prove that one and one don't make two, and the anger starts to rise, which you see all across America, the anger was rising. Now you've got to shift the focus. And you need to shift the focus to something that's going to draw a lot of attention real fast in order to save your butt. Just like saving your butt from global warming. And here we are. We're looking at a situation where cities strategically picked across the United States, and you're going to understand, strategically picked across the United States, and a few other really, really weird happenings that I would like anybody out there to try and explain to me. Let's go with, where are these riots? How about Portland? How about Oakland? How about Los Angeles? How about Phoenix? How about Las Vegas? How about Denver? How about Des Moines? How about St. Paul, New York, Washington, D.C., Atlanta? And I could go on and on. If you stop to consider this, and you also stop to consider that on some, in some of those areas, and there's actually, yes, an article about this on the Liberty Beacon, piles of bricks were delivered and set up in areas where there just happened to have been the next day, guess what? A big demonstration. Those pile of bricks were claimed by nobody and had no reason to be there. Stop and listen to what I'm saying, okay? We have several mayors on record stepping up to say, out of the 1,700 protesters that were arrested, these mayors are stepping up to say, everybody we arrested last night was from out of state.
Imagine that.
Okay, there's also a document that I have, a copy of a document. It's page 20 of, like, page 60, okay? And what this document is it tells people the qualifications they need and what they are and aren't allowed to do when they take part in this. In other words, this is part of a document used to hire people that they can put on a bus and pay and put on a bus and take to a different city to do these things. Now, people want to know, why would you even do that? Why would you jump on a bus? Let's say you're not getting paid. Why would you do that? I'm going to explain something to everybody out there. I do not want to go to the center of the town I may have grown up in, where I love the people, I know the people who own those businesses, and start burning and trashing their businesses. I don't want to do that. I do want to protest. I do believe that something was done wrong, but I can't see punishing other people in my town. That's going to be a majority of what you're going to get in just about any city. What you need to do is bring people from the outside who have no attachment to that city whatsoever and don't give a damn. They know where the pile of bricks is, and they're going to start throwing them. Yeah. This document even states what they are and are not allowed to do. They're not allowed to throw bottles or anything else unless someone local does it first. At that point, everything's go. It gives them guidelines on how they should act and react.
Yeah, I saw that.
Now we know that we're to do this. Now we know from the mayors that a majority of these people don't even live in the cities they came to trash. They don't even live in the state they came to trash. And now we understand, okay, that everybody is starting to wake up to the fact that COVID-19, according to the CDC itself, just isn't that strong. And you know what? Nowhere near that many people died. We just made a big oops. And now we've got riots in the streets. Why? Because this can't stop. And this is how I wrap it all up, okay? What do I mean by this can't stop? Barry, one of the first shows you and I did on this, I said to you, I was approached about a year ago and told something like this was going to happen. It was going to come in. It was going to wreak havoc. They were going to get all of their metrics. It was going to go out as fast as it came in. And then 5 to 10 years down the road, it would come back with a vengeance to do what it was intended to do. And then you take a look at all of this and you realize Trump at one point even stated that he was going to shut down the COVID-19 team. And that they would, okay, that was on a Friday. If you remember, Monday morning he came back and told everybody, oh, we're not going to do that. This may actually get worse, blah, blah, blah. He did a total reversal. Why? Because he was told that this dry run had gone way too well. That the things that they wanted to happen in the actual portrayal, the one they were gathering metrics for, were all in place. Mm-hmm. Almost the entire planet had been locked down. Economies were collapsing to the point where you now had to be literally enslaved to the people who rule you in order to survive going forward. Yeah, I may be putting a little bit too much emphasis on that in the United States, but if you don't think that if we hadn't started to get really pissed when we did, this was all supposed to go all the way up to the point where a viable vaccine was available, which could be at least another year. You were looking at the total collapse of the entire global economy. At this point, we're only suffering about a 15 to 20% collapse. If you take a look at the havoc that's been wreaked, imagine if it would have stuck. Imagine if this was in place for another 6 months to a year. Imagine all of the damage it has done times a thousand.
Well, you got to applaud Trump for withdrawing all support from the World Health Organization, Roger, and I applaud him for doing that, even though I don't like a lot of things that Trump did. I'm not a Trump fan. I think that was absolutely a very, very important statement that he made. Also today, he tweeted that he's going to label Antifa as a terrorist organization. I would not be surprised to see an executive order coming forward in the next couple of days stating that, and we put an end to this madness. Because these provocateurs, Roger, they're not people that live in these cities. They're just people that are being sent in by George Soros-funded organizations. You know that, and I know that, to absolutely uproot our society. Well, you know, you try and tell that to a common person, but really the information is there. What you said about Minneapolis, people really have to understand that these aren't local people that are doing that. These are government-funded provocateurs. I don't know if I said that right, but they're in there to raise poop. That is their mission. And, you know, unfortunately, we have
a lot of these are not government-funded. A lot of these are George Soros-funded.
George Soros-funded. Yes. Exactly. But yeah. You also have lots of reports of police getting involved, Roger. So where do they play? Where do they play into this equation? That's a good question. But the fact is that this is raising hell in America right now, and it just seems to be escalating. You have the National Guard in place. I hope it comes to a stop.
This is a country whereby there are limits for everything, okay? There will be a limit for this, and it won't exceed that. Getting to that limit is bad enough, all right? But in America, there are certain things you got, and you and I have had this discussion before, too. Anybody who thinks America is quick to react to anything doesn't know anything about America, okay? We're very, very slow to react to anything, which may be a good thing sometimes, may be a bad thing sometimes. But the point is, once we're pissed, we don't back down. We're looking at a situation right now that has put America in a position where they no longer trust their government. Let's ask a few questions, okay? All right? This cop, does anybody know out there that he was a former coworker and buddy with the guy he had his knee on at a nightclub? They were both bouncers?
I know that. A lot of people don't. I know that. I saw that link.
Why would he sit on this guy's neck, seemingly allowing himself to be filmed? Why did this guy's neighbors not even know he was a cop? Why did Michael Baden of Epstein and JFK fame do the autopsy? Who had the bricks delivered to the protest areas in the major cities ahead of time? Listen to me! This is not one city! These bricks were brought and put into place, knowing full well where these demonstrations were going to be. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. It stinks to D.C. swamp water. It stinks big time. And I got to let you know, okay, is America right now in trouble? Absolutely. Do I expect this to turn into a racial civil war? No, I don't. Why? Because enough people spend enough time on the internet today. Anybody out there listening, listen to what I'm about to say. Mainstream media only gets 10% of our attention, okay? The rest of it is online news. These people will see what's going on. They will see the story about the bricks. They will see the mayor saying these people don't even come from our communities. They come in to destroy our communities, but they don't even live here. They don't even live in this state. This is what we are seeing, and the American people have been fooled so much lately, they're very leery of being fooled anymore. So the crisis is going to have to take place. It's going to have to be either be totally successful or dumped for something else. And it's not like there's going to be a pause. There was no pause between global warming and COVID-19. There will be no pause between COVID-19 and riots across the country. And once we say this is a bunch of bullshit and enough of us say it out loud, when we say that, then they're going to have to switch to something else. Why? Because this is working way too well. $75 billion transferred to, in America alone, the American billionaires, the top five billionaires in America, okay, have their wealth has increased by $75 billion since the start of the COVID-19 issue. If you take a look globally, it's well over $300 billion have been funneled in to the top global billionaires since the start of COVID-19. If you think they're in a hurry to shut this down when they're getting the biggest wealth transfer they've gotten in a century, they're not stupid, but they're hoping to God we are.
Roger, the Canadian government just set all-time records for spending in the last 21 days. I don't know if you saw that leak, but our government here in Canada has spent $371 billion in the last 21 days. Wrap your minds around that for a second, folks. What do you think is going on? How much more will our economy take before it totally collapses? I'm looking at the economic the forecast for Canada here, Roger, in the next 6 months, and I'm telling you, buddy, our economy is on its way down. It's on its last legs. People aren't seeing the full-blown effect yet. They're all celebrating the $2,000 checks that the Liberal government is sending them. It's just unbelievable that people cannot see the trees for the forest, Roger. It scares me. It really does, because this is so in our face right now, what the agenda of this government is. And unfortunately, a lot of people are still drinking the Kool-Aid, buddy. They really are. I know a lot of people are waking up to it, Roger, and I agree. I'm having conversations now that I've never had with people before, but I'm still running up against the wall where people are still walking around with their masks on, thinking that this is real.
I have to stop everything I was about to say, and I have to address that point to everybody out there who wears a mask. I want you to stop and think about something, okay? A vast majority of these masks were made for surgical procedures. A surgical procedure is done over a limited period of time. These masks are not something you can put on and wear for a day, put it on the next day, wear it for a day, put it on the next day, just because it doesn't look like there's anything wrong with it. Let me explain to you that masks don't work. First off, a vast majority of the masks out there, the actual size of the hole that the air comes through is like a mile wide compared to a virus. Just one little virus, one little tiny one, would pass yep. through that mask like it doesn't even exist. But let me tell you what isn't passing through that mask. When you're wearing it, anything, any germs you may be picking up, okay, or anything that's in your body and has been, it is not escaping your body. It's actually being over and over and over again recycled into your nasal passage, where it pretty much has a semi-direct path to the brain. There are peer-reviewed studies out there and experts, I mean serious experts out there, stating that wearing a mask over a protracted period of time will do more to harm your health than it will to protect you.
Absolutely. But try and explain that to the sheeple, Roger.
I just did.
Well, but unfortunately, you know, what we see in society now, all these corporations are mandating that their employees wear masks. And I look at this and I go, it's sad. It really is. Because I looked at some of these studies that you're talking about, and it doesn't make sense to recycle air in your body. We're designed to take in fresh volumes of oxygen every time we breathe. And our bodies also, it's necessary that our bodies are exposed to germs, because that's how our immune system works. You see all these people trying to protect themselves from germs, washing their hands, man. I don't wash my hands because my body needs bacteria, because that's how my immune system works. It's a very, very calculated attack on everything they're doing, Roger.
It does. Okay, but you've got to understand, and you've heard me say this over and over again, because these three words are the entire mission statement of the Liberty Beacon Project. All across the planet, it is EPI. It's Eradicating Programmed Ignorance. What you need to stop to understand is that the ignorance you are seeing in America today was not here three generations ago. I don't know how many times you guys have heard me say that those of us who have three generations of experience, those of us that have three generations of perspective, it is incumbent upon us to tell you who don't what the reality is, what America used to be, what Canada used to be, because what you're seeing today isn't what it used to be. And if you're totally unaware, then you will accept what you see around you as normal. This is the way it's supposed to be, and it will never change. It is incumbent upon the Barrys and the Rogers of the world to educate you, because, as Barry alluded to, you're not going to be taught in school. If you go and look in an American textbook, okay, social studies, it tells our children, I know this because a mother actually helped her daughter do the homework, got irate, and went to the school because the homework was telling her daughter that a benevolent government granted them their rights, when in fact our rights are unalienable, and the only position the government has is to ensure that nobody infringes upon our rights. So if you stop to consider what our children are being taught, they are being taught from the ground up that they belong to the government, but not that the government belongs to them. Mm-hmm. So this is programmed ignorance, and let's take a look at how it has affected everything that we're living in today. All right, when the government says you need to get in your home because if you go near anybody, they might have it and you're going to die, so everybody goes and hides in their home. Nobody stops to do any research. Nobody stops to say, but wait a minute, there have been plagues all over the planet for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and so on and so forth. Nobody tries to put two and two together. Why? The government has got them totally convinced that if we say it, you should do it. End of story. So they do. But, again, we're not stupid enough to understand that if you're being lied to over and over again, maybe you should check another source. I started all this off by saying only 10% of us really believe or focus on the mainstream media. A lot of us watch it, but only 10% of us really put it in our back pocket as 100% anymore. If you stop to consider that, that is the biggest issue they have. Now, here's my next question, Barry, and I'd love to hear you weigh in on this. Everything I've just said is true. Everything. Their biggest enemy is the truth. How do we get the truth? We splatter it all across the planet on the internet so that everybody can see what reality is, not just what their government or the liars in chief are telling them. Okay? So how long are we going to have the internet, Barry?
Not very much longer, Roger. Unfortunately, I honestly believe that. That's what I see them doing. They're going to shut it down because
we can stop that. I do. But
I hope we do, Roger. But I think that will be their next play, that they want to stop the flow of information. You're right. People have access to proper information now at the click of a finger. All it takes is to go do a little research yourself, and you'll find out what we're talking about is true. I don't know if it's 10% that still listen to mainstream, but I still see the effects in our society where I see people driving around in their cars with masks on, that people are trying to avoid me on the sidewalk, that a lot of people are still drinking the Kool-Aid. So if it's 10%, they're having an effect on society.
No, you missed my point. When I say 10%, I said 10%, take it lock, stock, and barrel. Okay? I said a lot of us still watch it, but only 10% of them give them 100%. Oh, they're 100% truthful all the time. Okay? There are, to varying degrees, a lot of people who watch mainstream media. It's just that now there are certain issues. For some people, it may be vaccines. For other people, it may be, and I could go on and on, GMOs, it could be. So when they hear mainstream media putting out information they know is contrary to fact, okay, they know that going forward, whenever these people say anything to do with food, they're not going to trust it. So I'm not saying people don't trust the mainstream media anymore. I'm telling you, well, let's give a for instance. Okay, Fox News may get 5, 6, 7 million views on a Tucker Carlson show. But you can take even the best of the best on CNN on prime time, and they're lucky to get a couple hundred thousand.
I saw those numbers, Roger.
Stop to consider what I just said. They used to be America's number one news station. They were getting the 5 to 7 million views. Okay, what did I say? They went from 5 to 7 million views to 500,000 views. That's 10%. Literally 10%. Now, is again, not across the board and not on every issue. But one of the biggest issues out there right now, the biggest thorn in their side right now, the thing they can't really tolerate, because it is that thorn in their side, is the internet. Now, if they take the internet down, they're going to have a huge advantage, as in we won't know what they're going to do or what they've done. We won't be able to put the pieces together. The bad thing is they take the internet down, everybody with a gun in this country is going to load it. And there are more guns in the hands of American civilians than there are in any two or three combined armies on the planet. We've got between 350 and 500 million guns in private hands in the United States. So would they really love to shut it down? Yes. Do you think they're so stupid that they don't know what that would signal to this entire country? And I'm going to tell you something else everybody out there should think about. I've seen a resurgence of something lately that I never thought would ever come back again. And that's CB radios.
Yeah. Get one. Yep. Or a ham radio. Exactly.
Freaking-lutely. And most of them today you can get with a pedal generator.
That's probably something I think everybody should look into getting. And I'm going to look into it myself, Roger, because I can't have one yet, but I know it's a good idea. Because we might get to that point where we need a form of communication between us if they break it down. Whether they're going to or not, that remains to be seen. Roger, I don't think anything's out of their playbook right now. And I know that they are losing the information battle, that more people now are really starting to pay attention to what's going on. And that terrifies them, because an informed mass is the biggest problem they'll ever have. If the masses actually wake up to what's going on and their anger is played out properly, they're in big trouble. And I hope that's what happens in the next little while, Roger. I don't have the answer. I don't know which way it's going to go. I really don't. We can talk about lots of different scenarios. How it's going to go, we don't know for sure, but it's nice to talk about potential scenarios for sure.
If you consider it like this, okay, the thing that keeps so many people ignorant, so many people are actually participating in their own ignorance, is the fact that they have got that many people convinced, okay? And those people can go online, just like they can learn the conservative spot, and they can have the lies that they've been trained to believe reinforced over and over again. There's government sites, there's all kinds of sites for you to go to. So you've got this huge chunk of individuals here who believe everything the government says and goes online to find out everything the government wants them to know and do. And you've got the people on the other side who are saying, all of this is a bunch of crap, all of my rights are being trampled on, and the few people in the middle, all right? If you take a look at this and you put it into perspective, if all of these people wake up tomorrow and there is no internet, how many of those people that trusted you are still going to trust you? I can't think of them doing anything more decisive or divisive in this country and more, I would say, more detrimental to their own health than to shut internet access off to the entire country. That would be the straw that broke the camel's back.
I think I'd have to tend to agree with you, Roger, because if that doesn't wake people up, then they'll never, ever wake up. And I hope we don't see that happen, but I don't put it out of the realm of possibility right now, because they are losing an information battle. They know it. We're putting their backs up against the wall in a lot of different scenarios right now. And you're seeing it around the world, man. You're seeing pushback around the planet right now. I think we really have to ramp this up, Roger, because I believe the window of opportunity to stop this will go away sometime in the future. I honestly believe that they're going to have such power over the people that will never get it back. They're already talking about, of course, the new second wave that is going to come with this COVID-19. Canada is absolutely in a lot of trouble because they're preaching it right now that it is going to happen. It's inevitable that we might be looking at shutdowns for another year in Canada. And if this government's allowed, well, if Trudeau, you know how bad of a maniac and who Trudeau is. I don't have the words to describe my hatred for that man, Roger, and I'm not supposed to hate, but I can't describe my feelings any other way for what this man's doing to this country. It blows me away, Roger, that I see Americans really starting to stand up. I'm not quite seeing the same pushback in Canada yet.
It
has to come because this government up here. My question to you, Roger, and this is a scenario I want to ask you as an American looking at what's going on in Canada. And of course, Donald Trump is aware of what's going on in Canada. He is fully aware of every move that Trudeau is doing and the agenda behind it. What do you think would happen if Canada really got out of hand and the government kind of shut down all our freedoms and enacted almost a dictatorship, which we're already in? We're in a full-blown fascist dictatorship already, but to a point where it was absolutely undeniable that this is what's happening now, guys. You have no liberties or freedoms left. What do you think the United States of America would do in a situation like that? That's a question I wanted to ask because, you know, we share a long, unprotected border, Roger.
The biggest problem would be if this happens right now, okay? If this happens as a result of what is happening, if that is the situation, then it's not so much what the government itself would do as to what the American people would pretty much force the American government to do. And you're right, we share a very, very long border, okay? And the refugees coming across that border would probably be welcomed beyond belief. As far as military action, I would tell you that that's not going to happen. But, hold on, supporting those who may decide to oppose the governance within their country, okay, supporting them, you would find Americans would support them 120%. I would also tell you that if the same thing was happening in America and we had a bunch of people, guys, military trained, coming south of the border to try and help us, the first thing we would say is thank you, but no thank you. Mm. And I don't think Canadians want Americans shooting people up on their soil either. But what I do think they would look for from us would be just unwavering support, whether it's money, whether it's, even weapons, whether it's, you know, training, whatever may be necessary. I believe that you would find the American people would be wholeheartedly in support of. But as far as, like I said, literally invading Canada, I don't think that's going to happen. Just like I don't think we would ever literally, again, I do say again, invade Mexico.
Okay, well, I wanted to run that by you and get your thought on that, because it's a lot of people kind of run that thought by me. You know, we're sharing this unprotected border, and yep, we have cells right now in this country. The problem with Canada right now is that people aren't aware of this. You should listen to Tom Quiggin talk about this, that there is lots of cells in Canada right now that are being supported by the government. And those cells are actually just waiting for the word go to create real social chaos in Canada. I honestly believe that. When you have organizations that are being supported by the government, there really isn't anything stopping them from getting their hands on, say, little toys that we aren't allowed to even have access to, Roger. And there is going to come a time in this country, because these people do work together in very efficient ways, I honestly believe they'll turn on the Canadian people. It might mean the declaration of the Emergencies Act, where the government takes complete control and has full dictatorship powers over the Canadian people. That terrifies me, but that's all in the realm of Justin Trudeau's playbook.
It goes beyond that, because what you're talking about is what people are actually seeing going on in specific cities in this country. Okay, we're seeing this unfolding, and again, this was originally supposed to be a dry run. They were supposed to take all of the metrics so that the next time they did this, they could plan it so that it really, really worked well. If you would consider that over $300 billion has been sucked out of our pockets into the richest people on the planet in the last month or two, then I would say they've got a very good reason not only not to stop this, but to find any way they can to continue it. Regardless of what happens, no matter who we kill, no matter who we chastise, no matter what laws we change, what rights and freedoms we lose, none of those people on the top, none of those people at the top of Mount Zeus will ever feel a repercussion. They have caused the biggest turmoil, both economically and sociologically, and even, I don't know, psychiatrically. They have literally stirred the entire pot to the detriment of humanity, and which one of them will we put on trial? Which one of them? Which one of these billionaires with $200 or $300 or $500 billion are we going to drag down and put on trial? Which one are we going to hang? Which one's going to get the death sentence for the millions of people that died across the planet that didn't need to from this dry run? And there's still millions more that will die as a result of what's going on across this planet. Which one of these are we going to bring down from Zeus? All right, from whatever the hell that mountain's called, where all the gods sit, which one are we going to bring down and make an example out of? I'm going to bet you dimes to donuts, not one of them. And there may be some of their minions that will have guilt pinned on them, because somebody's got to take the fall. Government has to show that they got to the bottom of it. No, they didn't. because the bottom of it is the top of the world, and they won't get freaking touch. Where have I got that wrong, Barry?
Oh, you're spot on, Roger, but, you know, for people to understand that, for the common person to understand how all that works together, it's beyond their realm of comprehension.
Why I said the gods on Mount Zeus. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, yeah. You know, I have to be very careful when I talk to people, Roger, that I don't scare them away. That I'm learning, honestly, buddy, to have conversations with people, and I talk about things that they can understand, because that will open the door to explain things to them.
Yep.
I'm seeing that now. You know, Roger, I had the most encouraging thing in my life happen in the last week, where, you know, a couple young guys sat down with me outside of Tim Hortons. And they let me talk for about 20 minutes. And all I said to them, sir, was, please, just go home. Don't listen to me. Just go home and look at a few of the things that I've talked to you about here in the last 15 minutes and research it. And then come back and let's have a conversation. Well, they did, Roger. And they just, they had a look of befound, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm looking for a word and I can't bring it up. But they were dumbfounded. They really were, because, you know, they said to me that, you know, none of this stuff that you talked about, Barry.
It's called realization.
Realization, but, you know, they don't get access. They didn't, none of the stuff that I talked to them about, they hear about on mainstream, none of it. And it just kind of really was encouraging to see a couple young guys, you could see the anger inside them, Roger. And, you know, anger isn't a bad thing and it's not a great thing, but if it's channeled in the right direction, it is a good thing, because we all should be extremely angry right now, but we can't let that manipulate our thought process. We have to go about this the right way. Roger, if we go to armed confrontation against the government, I've said this on shows with you before, that I honestly believe that they have things put away that might just make our guns obsolete. And you probably would agree with that. And, you know, nothing is out of the playbook. So really, they're pushing us towards armed confrontation right now.
What do you think?
The whole agenda.
What do you think is going to happen if if the government decides that rather than, which they're supposed to do, okay, bowing to the will of the people, they start slaughtering tens of millions of people in this country? What do you think is going to happen?
There's going to be a bloodbath like we've never seen before in history, Roger.
And I don't expect that that's going to happen. I really don't. I don't expect that that's going to happen. I do expect something else to happen, which everybody asks me, because I keep telling people that this is the elite's scenario accelerated many times fold. And they ask me, what does that mean? What it means is, when we talk about elites, we talk about people who have literally ruled this planet, not a joke, okay, for hundreds of years, since the middle 1600s. These are the families. These are the elites. These aren't the yesterdays, okay? Some of the newest people in there may be people like the Rockefellers, okay, who didn't come around until the early 1900s, all right? This is a cabal that is literally been poking at the world for several hundred years. And in the last 50 years, we have seen a massive increase in their scenario. Why? Because of technology. Technology has allowed them to do what they're doing at a much higher pace, but it's also given us an advantage in that we can see, okay? We have the ability to see. So if you stop to consider, we can see just about everything they're doing. I'm going to give you a prediction. I would tell you that a vast majority of the conservatives coming forward will be in this new generation.
How do you expect them to get rid of the 90% of people they want to get rid of on this planet, Roger? Because that's in their mandate.
Well, how do I expect them to do it?
Yeah.
They're already doing it. What are you talking about?
Okay, but it's going to ramp up.
No. I will explain it, okay?
Okay.
How many times on your show have you heard me say that the last time I could get numbers for this was in 2014, but at that point in time, the United States had already suffered a 314,000 birth deficit in 1 year, Okay? Now, I also made the comment that at this rate, by 2025, the only people having babies in America will be those who snuck across the border illegally. And that's not a joke. Okay? What I will also tell you, and yes, please look this up on the internet. You will find it to be true. The new vaccine, okay, there is somebody, a whistleblower on the team, that basically stated it has HCG, which is a hormone blocker, and also another hormone blocker. So there's two hormone blockers built into this vaccine, and one sterilizes males and one sterilizes females. Now, how do I know about this at all? Because I did a show about 3 years ago with Dr. Nagare, okay, from Nigeria, who took one of the vaccines that the WHO was giving and had it analyzed and proved that it had HCG in it. HCG is a sterilizing component, okay? This was being given in a tetanus shot to all of the Nigerian women, but only women between 16 and 40 years old, which just happens to be the birth ages. So am I telling you that I believe it when I'm told by a whistleblower that there are hormone blocking, and not only is this going to sterilize 97%, could sterilize up to 97% of those who take it, but it is set up in such a fashion. Remember, this is highly scientific. This is one of them new DNA vaccines. It is set up to not kick in for between 7 and 10 years.
Hmm. Boy, they sure cover all the bases, don't they?
So that it can't be pinned to them. This is a whistleblower working on that team. Now, I also happen to know that the vaccine in the monkey trials, okay, every one of the monkeys given the vaccine came down with the disease. Every single one of them. All right? And now they're starting to use it on children. And this is one of the things you're going to find out. This isn't an article on the Liberty Vegan. Is that in order to sterilize their process, they have been allowed to include death as a minor incident. In other words, if one of the monkeys or one of the children in the test dies, it can say there was a minor incident in whatever, whatever, because of the whatever, whatever. Not there was a death. Not only that, but any company, any individual, especially the people who funded it, Bill Gates, they have no liability at all. So now they're going to sterilize you. 7 to 10 years from now, the population of the planet is going to go, what the hell is going on? Nobody's having babies anymore. And then they're going to look back at these people and they're going to go, oops, hey, you rushed us into this. We didn't know. Not true. We already know. And if we didn't have the internet, we wouldn't know. And they know that.
Yeah. Well, that's a pretty crazy scenario, but nothing's out of the realm of possibility. And I've looked into it myself, Roger, and there's lots of credence to what you're saying. How do we get negative death reports for 2019? Is that information available to you anymore? Or do they not report on that anymore? They're covering that up?
Where I got the last number was, I believe, I'm pretty sure it was Health and Human Services. And I have checked. I've gone back to the same spot every year, and there's nothing there.
I'm getting feeds right now, Roger, that there's absolute chaos breaking out in Washington, D.C. right now. I'm going to go to it after the show's over, but that's a link that just came to me, that the White House has been surrounded. They're breaking down barriers, that it's absolutely gone right out of control. I can't go look at it right now, and I can't verify it, but those two links have come through here to me in the last 10 minutes about that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah,
I'm just sure. They brought the National Guard in last night for that.
Yeah, I know. So where is that going to go today, Roger? You know, scary stuff, man. Scary stuff.
The problem here, and I hate like hell to have to say this, but it's absolutely true. The problem here depends on What happens as a result? Are there shots fired? Are people harmed? And again, what happens if it's the police or the National Guard that are harmed? Okay, and not so much the protesters. So again, the scenario right now is wide open. Did we pretty much expect this? I think those in Washington did because they had the National Guard brought in.
Yeah, we haven't seen a situation like this in the United States in quite a few years, Roger. I can't remember. Well, the Los Angeles riots, I think, were the last time they did the National Guard. Am I correct?
This is not a showstopper, okay? It isn't. And again, we've been through this before. We will see our way through this. This is a distraction. It's a major, major distraction, and it's a distraction from the fact that a lot of people, including the CDC, were having to admit that they just dragged the entire country through something that was totally unnecessary.
Quickly off the top of your head, Roger, how many people have died from measles as opposed to the people that have died from the measles vaccine? I looked at these numbers the other day, and it absolutely astounded me. You want to hit on that for a second? People got to know.
I looked
at the numbers, and it's crazy. Anyway, you probably have them on the tip of your tongue, so I'm asking.
No, I don't, but I can definitely talk to the subject, okay? I wanted to do this with respect to COVID-19. All right, I want to talk about how many people got a flu shot. All right, and I want to talk about the vast majority of people who got a flu shot and had a bad reaction to it. It was blamed on because guess what? The symptoms would pretty much mirror. It was blamed on COVID-19. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you that last year, over 120,000 Americans died from the flu. Even the CDC said 80,000 died. For the CDC to say that even 80,000 was them having to say a lot because they actually have 20 vaccine patents, the CDC does. So what we're looking at with the CDC telling us that half of the tests are wrong, and what we're also looking at some of the other testing criteria that we've seen, that as few as 25% of the deaths that were claimed could be actually be true, which means that 25,000 people in America died from COVID-19, which is bad. I really, really would never want to see one person die. I just got done telling you that last year, 80,000 admitted by the CDC, actual number, over 120,000 people died from the flu, most of whom had had a flu shot. So we're talking 4 to 4.5 times as many people died last year, most as a result of a vaccine, and we didn't shut nothing down.
Wow. Nothing. People got to roll that around in their brains for a minute, Roger. No, we're down to about 6 minutes, and I know Steve wanted to ask you a quick question.
Go ahead, Steve.
I'll let him ask the question, and then we're going to be close to the end of the show.
Yeah, a quick statement first, Roger.
Yeah.
I myself had a dry cough October, November last year. My mother did. My stepdad did. And quite a few people I know had a dry cough. Doctors couldn't figure it out. But my question is, what do you think of this conspiracy going around that Donald Trump is the last president and we have our last pope?
I would honestly tell you, and without any reservation, that if we allow that to happen, that's very believable. I honestly will tell you without any reservation that I think we still live in the best country ever to have existed on this planet, and that there will be enough Americans saying they're not going to let that happen, that they won't let it happen. I'm not telling you it's going to be a really, really good ending. What I am saying is what you say is very possible if we allow it.
We're already been taking control over by FEMA.
Yes. Well, actually, it's a little bit deeper than that, too, because we've been under emergency rule since 1933 when bankruptcy was declared.
Yeah.
And we've been under basically what could be termed martial law, okay, since late 1933, early 1934. So this country, and this country is not a country, it's a corporation. There's absolutely a lot of things, and those are brilliant questions, Steve, and that's good information. People need to hear that between you and I. Not only the question, but the answer. There's a lot of things that are wrong with this country. And I'm going to tell you something. In every single crisis, you need to look for an advantage, a way to accomplish something. We need to shake this off. We need to shake it off really, really hard. And then we have to step up to the podium and say, we're going to denounce or illegitimize the Act of 1871. We're going to illegitimize, and I could give you an entire list, as the people, end of story. This is the only way we get salvation in America. Do I think it can happen? Yeah. Do I think we're being put in a position where we're going to have no choice but to do one or the other? Steve, you and I both know, yeah, we are. It's getting there quick, real quick.
Okay, well, Roger, we're down to the last 4 minutes of the first hour here, and it went really quickly. I know we could do another hour right now because I never touched on half the stuff I wanted to talk to you about, but that usually is a normal thing when I get talking with you. You know, buddy, spend the last minute here. Can you just share with people where they can find you and follow your work? And I'll have to say goodbye to you for another episode of The Barry and Roger Show.
Look, it's the Liberty Beacon. TheLibertyBeacon.com, and when you go there, you'll see a banner all the way up at the top with the logos from other websites. Click on that banner. It'll take you to a page where you can visit the other websites, and that's a website actually in Paris called Europe Reloaded, a website actually in Manchester, England called UK Reloaded. You're catching the drift, right? Okay, so we are a global organization. We report the truth. What you're not going to find on any website anywhere that we own is an ad. We take no money from any sponsors. So what we tell you is what we think you absolutely need to know, not what somebody is paying us to say or paying us not to say. So visit the Liberty Beacon, and if not, I'll be back on Barry's show pretty soon anyway.
I guarantee you that'll happen real soon, Roger, and I always thank you for giving me your time. I know you're a busy guy. I enjoy my conversations with you, and I look forward to the next one, my friend.
Well, you enjoy yourself, and I know what you're about to do, so please stay safe.
Yeah, and I'm also about to talk about my favorite subject the next hour, guys, and that's the cannabis plant. So hang around, because we're going to shed some positives on your world instead of negatives.
We've got to talk about that one show. You and me.
I know, Roger. I know you could get going on for an hour or two, but hey, I'm going to get a conversation with Doug Force going here the next hour, guys, and cool. I guarantee it, it'll be encouraging. So I'll be back in about 4 minutes, folks. Thanks, Roger.
Things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression. Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job. The dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it. We know the air is unfit to breathe and our food is unfit to eat. We sit watching our TVs while some local newscaster tells us that today we had 15 homicides and 63 violent crimes, as if that's the way it's supposed to be. We know things are bad, worse than bad. They're crazy. It's like everything everywhere is going crazy, so we don't go out anymore. We sit in the house, and slowly the world we're living in is getting smaller, and all we say is, please, at least leave us alone in our living rooms. Let me have my toaster and my TV and my steel built-in radios, and I won't say anything. Just leave us alone. Well, I'm not going to leave you alone. I want you to get mad. I don't want you to protest. I don't want you to riot. I don't want you to write to your congressman because I wouldn't know what to tell you to write. I don't know what to do about the depression and the inflation and the Russians and the crime in the street. All I know is that first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm a human being. God damn it. My life has value. So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
I want you to get up right now. Get up.
Stay with her.
Go to your windows, open them, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore. Things have got to change.
How many stations does this go out?
You've got to get mad.
67. I know it goes to Louisville and Atlanta.
I'm not going to take this anymore. Then we'll figure out what to do about the depression and the inflation and the oil crisis. But first, get up out of your chairs, open the window, stick your head out and yell, and say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Who are you talking to, Herb?
CGG Atlanta.
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Herb?
Are they yelling in Atlanta, Ted?
But first, you've got to get mad. You've got to say, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
They're yelling in Baton Rouge.
God damn it. Get up, get up, get up out of your
chair. Son of a bitch! We struck the mother lobe!
Stick your head out of the window, open it, and stick your head out and keep yelling and yell, I'm as mad as hell, I'm not going to take this anymore. Just get up from your chairs right now. Go to
where
the window.
Where are you going? I don't want to see if anybody's yelling.
Window, open it and stick your head out and yell and keep yelling. I'm
mad as hell. How am I going to take this anymore?
I'm mad as hell. I'm not
going
to take it anymore. I'm mad as hell. I'm not
going to
take it anymore.
I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
To www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Welcome back to the second hour, folks, and thanks again to Roger Landry for joining me this first hour. Always enjoy my conversations, but we're going to switch gears here. You know, we have been covering what's going on in governments and all this other crap that's going on in our world for the last little while, and I really feel it's time we switch gears and talk about something that can make you smile and something that can actually affect our world in a way that it blows my mind if we actually embraced it fully, what the cannabis plant can do for the planet. It's something you guys have heard me talk about numerous shows before, and it's one that really fills me with a passion for what we could do with this incredible plant if we really embraced it, how it could truly change our world. And carry on a conversation today with Doug Forrest. You've heard Doug on my show many times. I really enjoy talking with Doug. And I didn't know that Doug was, we're having a conversation, actually I think it was yesterday, Doug, or the day before, and I really didn't know about your involvement in cannabis and your history with it. It actually kind of surprised me that you have the involvement that you had in the past. And it's something that we both really share a passion for. Thanks for coming in, bud. And I know you want to talk about something that you read in one article that you brought up, so I'll let you have the mic.
Well, what I thought I would do is I'd give people a little background as to my background in doing this, as per our conversation we had the other day. I had a foundation called the Leaf Foundation, and we put it together to do global reforestation. In the rainforests throughout the world, we were looking at projects in the Amazon. We were partnered with We Are the One Heart Foundation out of Thailand, and the King's Foundation out there. He had hybrid jatropha plants that we were using for reforestation. We used Paulownia trees as well. And the big one, the big, big cash crop that kept the people on the land, because it takes 75 years to regrow the rainforest, so you're looking at multiple generations and you have to keep people on the land, was hemp, or as Barry says, cannabis. And it would keep the people on the land. We could make biodiesel from it, paper, cloth, all kinds of other products from that that could be made locally and then sold internationally, et cetera, et cetera. And we're talking, when you have to replant 1 million acres of devastated rainforest, you can't plant it all at once. So you have to plant it in sections, and it takes time to get these things grown and grow the canopy properly, because it can't all be, planted at once. So we're left with a lot of land that's available for other cash crops. And so we wanted crops that would replenish the land, not just take away from it like cotton or soy or so forth. But we wanted to put in hemp, and hemp cannabis was a way that the land would come back. You could do two turns of hemp, and then you could come back and plant corn, plant wheat, whatever you wanted, because the soil was then replenished enough to support other life plants. Mm-hmm. And so it was actually a lot of fun. I got to meet a lot of very interesting people in my travels. We were looking at doing a project in Florida where they had phosphate lands. And it was badly polluted from the phosphate industry. And you couldn't plant any kind of food crops on the land because that would the phosphates would get into the food and poison people. So we looked at Paulownia trees, jatropha, and hemp. We were also made inroads with one of the big universities down there that was doing hardwood plantations. And they were very excited about the bringing in of hemp. But at the time, because it was the United States, hemp was illegal under their marijuana laws. And so we had trouble just actually bringing that into the conversation when it came to the government. With the universities and with the landowners, they were quite happy to talk about it. They thought it was a great idea. But the government said, no.
Of course, they recognized how big a threat it was to them.
Well, and it... The problem is that, I mean, you can grow this stuff pretty much anywhere in the world. Here up in Ontario, we can do three crops a year.
Yeah, the wheat.
Well, exactly. That's why they call it wheat. Hello.
It'll grow anywhere, Doug. In the worst soil conditions in the world, it'll grow.
Exactly. But some of the uses for it over the years. I mean, did you know that Henry Ford's first Model T was built to run on hemp gasoline, and the car itself was constructed from hemp?
Yes, and it was going to run on an ethanol-based fuel derived from the cannabis plant, and along came the power to be, and they quashed that. People don't know that, but that's part of the history for sure. I knew that, Doug.
Yeah, I know, but it's like funny little things. Like in 1916, the U.S. government predicted by the 1940s all paper would come from hemp, and no more trees would need to be cut down, right? So government studies report that 1 acre of hemp equals 1.4 acres of trees.
Exactly. You produce, I forget the exact numbers, but if you took a 50-year span on a 1 acre plot, you harvest conventional trees off that as opposed to growing hemp on that same plot for that 50-year period. And I don't want to make the wrong figure, but I believe is you'll produce about 600 times the amount of fiber off that acre of land by using hemp as opposed to harvesting a conventional tree crop.
Yeah.
That alone, just, and boy, when you started talking about detoxifying effects of the hemp plant on soil, that is something that people really have to grasp, because our soil, doesn't matter where we go in the world today, our soil is contaminated. But the studies I've seen, just absolutely, there was one done in France. I don't know if you know, this was, I think it was done about 5 years ago, where they took a plot of land that was heavily contaminated with oil contaminants, and they planted industrial hemp on it.
Yeah.
And in two years, the oil isotopes in the soil had been reduced by about 80% in a 2 year period. Well, you talk about the root systems of the hemp plant. People don't understand the miracle of the root system of the hemp plant, how deep it goes into the soil and how it replenishes the soil, Doug. It's absolutely amazing. And then the crop you grow on that soil will blow the doors off a conventional crop grown in a field beside that it wasn't treated with industrial hemp. We really got to get society and embrace some of these ideas, because it absolutely, we're seeing food shortages. We're seeing all kinds of shortages appear because of course government, but also because of what's going on in our soil. And the hemp plant has an answer for all that.
Well,
we talk about.
And during the 17th and 18th century, refusing to grow hemp was against the law in the colonial states.
Well, let's bring that law back. That sounds like a pretty good. Well, you know, of course, when the government made it illegal, they blanket covered industrial hemp and bundled it with cannabis that contains THC.
Yes.
And, you know, why did they do that? Because they know, Doug, what kind of a threat it represents to cotton, to oil, to everything that damages our environment, but makes them billions of dollars. But now people are getting educated.
And DuPont, in 1937, patented the process to make plastics from oil. And they were the big primary push to get marijuana, quote unquote, made illegal. And otherwise, it would have ruined over 80% of DuPont's business.
Absolutely. People don't know that. A lot of people don't know the history of it. It's good that we talk about it because it's really relevant that we understand how this was taken away from us, why it was taken away from us, and what kind of a world would we have right now, Doug, if Henry Ford had allowed ethanol-based fuels on a cannabis plant to be our main source of fuel today?
And, well, you know,
what would our world look like?
It would certainly be different. And you know, with the advent here in Canada of producing what they call legal cannabis, they're making new inroads into CBD oils, and they're starting to really start looking at this stuff for cancer treatments, for epilepsy treatments, for Parkinson's, all of these other diseases that were banned because the product was banned, is now open the door to allow this stuff to come in, which I think is fantastic. I had a friend who was stage 4 prostate cancer who used CBD oils for a period of about 8 months. He went to a doctor. He went to an oncologist, said, "Son, go home, get your affairs in order. You got 2 months to live." 8 months later, he goes back and sees that same oncologist, and they just test him. He says, "Well, you don't have stage 4 cancer. We must have misdiagnosed you." He says, "No, I'm not kidding. We must have missed." He says, "How did you?" He says, "I treated with cannabis and high dose vitamin C." "Oh no, we must have misdiagnosed you. That can't be. That wouldn't work."
Yeah, we're not making inroads in the cancer industry right now with all this information coming forward, Doug, because people are really starting to look at it. I've had people in my community that I've given cannabis oil to, and I can give you their phone numbers, Doug, and you can call them up, and they'll tell you exactly the same thing that you just said, that they've gone in full remission simply by adding the endocannabinoid cell into their body. Amazing effect.
Well, and speaking of so these oncologists, I read a couple of years ago there was a survey sent out to 2,500 oncologists in the United States. And, you know, it's a couple hundred question survey, blah, blah, blah. And one question in the survey asked, if one of your loved ones, your mother, your father, your sister, your brother, your child, your wife got cancer, would you recommend radiation therapy or chemotherapy for them? And to a person, 2,500 oncologists all said, absolutely not.
Well, because they know better. You can't radiate your body and expect it to kill cancer, because if anybody that studied chemotherapy knows that it only affected maybe 97% of the time, and then it, within a 10-year period, you're dead. It's absolute lunacy what they do with chemotherapy.
Yeah,
it's time we bring it to an end, Doug, because I see them doing it to children, buddy, and that just breaks my heart, my friend. It should not be allowed to go on in our society when we know there is absolutely undeniable natural cures for cancer, and we're only talking about cannabis, but there's multiple other things that have come to the surface here in the last few years that they continue to suppress. We've got to put a stop to it.
Well,
we can talk about multiple things that work. Go ahead.
You look at turmeric, for example, okay, and the health benefits that you get from turmeric, it's amazing. And that, what is that? That's just a little root. But if you have swelling, it's great for taking down the swelling in joints and so forth. I mean, I take turmeric every morning, like with vitamin D, with vitamin A, et cetera, et cetera. So all of these things, they'd love to suppress. Have you ever heard of Codex Alimentarius?
Yes, I have.
So you know about the Codex, huh?
Yes, I do.
And that is probably the most evil book ever written.
It is, because it's going to make everything that's ever natural in the world an illegal situation in a heartbeat. I understand what they are saying there. And well, we see that manifest right now in society.
Well, they have laws on the book here in Canada that say that that stores in Canada cannot sell more than 1,000 IUs of vitamin D capsule form. That's a maximum they can sell, 1,000 IU pills, which is absolutely ridiculous. The human body, because we're in the wintertime a lot, so vitamin D plays a very big part in the human body. I take 15,000 IUs a day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, but that is what you should be taking. The thing about vitamin D, the beautiful thing about that, like cannabis oil, it actually improves your immune system. So why would you not be taking it? Shaga, the other one is Shaga that you were talking to me about. Same thing. We don't have to cure diseases. We just have to have a really good immune system, and they won't even bother us.
Well, yeah, Doug, because, you know, all our diseases stem from immune system deficiency. And if you look at what's affecting the immune system in the human body, if you took a body of a man from 1950 and compared its immune system to the body of a man from 2020, I believe the numbers you'd see about a 40% reduction in immune system function in the body. And, of course, that's because we're being bombarded with chemicals. Yep. That we look at our food. We're looking at the genetically modified foods that they're eating. We know they're spraying chemicals over our skies. We know they're putting fluoride in our water. We know our soil is saturated now with glyphosate, and all these things attack the immune system. Of course, now we see diseases that are based on the immune system ramping up in society. One thing that Chaga does, and it's Chaga, believe it or not, Doug, at one time the Chinese rulers kept it. I looked into the history of Chaga, mm-hmm. and this is the fact that they kept it away from the common people because they found by drinking Chaga, they were extending their lifetime by multiple years.
Yes.
Some reports I read from 1,000 years ago in China, the emperor stated, believe it or not, that they increased their lifespan by 40 or 50 years. And they studied this over the years that they embraced Chaga fully back then. And they found out that it expanded their lifetime. So, of course, they didn't want the common person to have that. That's a historical fact. Go look at that. That'll blow your mind. I take Chaga every day in my life, Doug. I've been doing that now for 5 years. And honest to God, buddy, I cannot tell you what it's done to my body. Sure, I had one bad cold here this year. And it was because I ran out of Chaga, and I wasn't able to get Chaga in my body for about 6 weeks. And I got knocked off my feet in January where I was so sick for a month, buddy, I couldn't even go on the air.
So
I continue back on my Chaga, honestly, I have not been knocked like that. If I continue taking it regularly in my body, I don't get sick. And I know it super boosts my immune system. And I just love this stuff, Doug. I really do. But I'm also drinking a rosehips tea every day. Rosehips is, of course, you know, the highest concentration of vitamin C in the world.
Yep.
And it's amazing stuff. I noticed the change in my body since I started drinking that. I also know I'm watching my dandelions here. When they fluff out and the second crop comes in, I will be taking dandelion roots and making tea with that. These are things right in your backyard, folks, that you can do that make an incredible difference in your body. The more you do, the better you feel, Doug, and then you want to do more. Because you feel the difference in your body. You're not suffering. I see people around me, Doug, that are just, 55 years old, and they can't even move. And they're suffering, and they pull out their little pill box, and they're taking 3 pills in the morning, 6 pills at lunch, and 4 more at night, or 10 more at night to offset the effects of the pills they've taken during the day. They're just, and I look at them, I go, wow, man. It's just like every one of those pills contains an analytical, and every one of those analyticals are storing in your liver and your body, and they're having a party. And then you get 3 or 4 of them together, and they don't like each other.
Barry.
And then you get another one in there, and he don't like the first 5 or 6.
Barry.
And all of a sudden, you die.
Barry.
Yeah, Steve.
What kind of tea was that?
Huh? Chaga.
No. Well, you said some other tea.
No. Rosehips.
Oh, rosehips. Yes.
If you Google rosehips on the internet, guys, you'll find it. It has the highest concentration of vitamin C of any plant known in the world, and it's all over the place in my bush up here. The only thing is, if you do find rosehips, it's really important that you take the little hairs out of the center of the rosehip. You've got to cut them open and take those hairs out because they will really mess up your stomach really bad. But you get them out of there, make a tea with it, you are doing your body a huge, huge favor.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Linus Pauling back in the 80s. My mother was diagnosed with terminal cancer, and I was following him. There was no internet back then. So I was reading medical journals or medical papers that he had written about high-dose vitamin C, and that was what he recommended for cancer patients was rosehip tea, highly concentrated rosehip tea. You put it in the fridge, you keep it there, you drink it all the time for cancer patients. And because of the high doses of vitamin C, and it's good cold, it's good hot, it makes no difference whether it was hot or cold, you get the same benefits from it. And being summertime coming up, I don't know if you put vodka in it and drink it that way. Might not be as good for you, but I know that rosehip tea was one of the big things that Pauling had talked about for people who, because of bowel tolerance and the trouble with when you have cancer, your whole system is kind of screwed up, and people have a tendency to overdo. And so rosehip tea, you said, couldn't overdo it. In other words, could drink it all the time, it wouldn't get, because it was natural and not just ascorbic acid. It was in its natural form. Your body would utilize whatever it needed for the time, and then pee the rest of it out. Whereas ascorbic acid would get into your intestines and whoosh, and that would wipe out your bowels. So that's why, and I've always loved the rosehip tea. I think that's the great, great thing to take.
Well, to me, it's preventative medicine, man.
It is.
And, you know, I know people all around me have cancer, and I'm being bombarded with chemicals no matter. Even I'm up here in the north of British Columbia, I'm still exposed to all kinds of chemicals. Everything I can do to help my body, buddy, I'm 65 now, and I'm really starting to pay attention to everything I can do to help my body, because it really makes a difference in the way you feel. And if you feel good, it's on your face every day. Like I said, I know lots of people, Doug, that are 55 years old, and I just shake my head. They're just spiraling downwards. And, you know, you try and talk to them, but it's like they're so indoctrinated with your doctor, so indoctrinated with the medical system. It's really hard to get through to some people. They're just going to die, unfortunately.
Well, it's sad. It's that old expression, you lead a horse to water, you just can't make him drink it.
Well, exactly.
And that is the sad part about that, because people will take those pills right up until their death, and their doctors don't care. The end of the day, the doctor needs a new Porsche. Here's your new prescription. Some doctors, I shouldn't say all doctors, most doctors are pretty darn good if they're willing to talk to their patients and understand them. Well, most doctors today, here, especially in the big cities like Toronto or in Vancouver, you don't get a lot of FaceTime with a doctor. They book you for 10 or 15 minute appointments. You're in, this is my problem. Oh, here's your prescription. Now bugger off. Or here's your, go get your blood test. We need to look into this more. Sadly, we've lost that contact with the medical field, and that medical field has lost that contact with the homeopathic field because they just don't have time for it. Because the drug companies come in and they push their drugs. Here are some samples. Give these to your patients. You know, oh my God, here, let's go poison them some more. You know, there was my friend who happens to be a cardiologist in the U.S. He and I were talking about, why is this COVID, this big push on COVID and so forth? Well, did you know that 2020 is the year that these patents are running out on all the big money drugs for the big pharma? The statin drugs, all the psychotropic drugs that the psychiatrists have been prescribing. This is the big year of those patents running out. So their income streams are basically coming to an end off of these, and there's nothing new in the pipeline. So what are they pushing? Vaccines. Billions and billions and billions. They're licking their lips and rubbing their hands together, going, oh boy, we're gonna have the governments, you know, force people to take vaccines, and we're gonna make billions and billions of dollars. And that's what this whole thing is about.
Hey, Doug.
Yeah, go ahead.
Barry, do you know what the worldwide actual profit is from Big Pharma?
It's in the hundreds and billions. I don't know the number
one in front of me. 1.05 trillion.
Holy Macedonia.
Oh, I didn't know it was that high. I thought it was around 500 or 600 billion, but that was a while ago I looked at that.
No,
that's a lot of money.
America is over 125 billion. just alone.
Good grief.
Wow.
That's and these guys need to be put out of business. They have produced nothing in the last 40 years of any value. Now, small pharma companies have actually done very good with but they're very limited type of drugs for odd diseases. But big pharma has never. They just don't. They're not interested. They want something they could push out for everybody, so everybody could get diagnosed. The statin drugs. That was the whole thing. Oh, your cholesterol's bad. We've got to put you on this drug. And these drugs did absolutely nothing. The side effects kicked in, but the drugs didn't do anything for you. But the side effects sure did. They usually put you in the ground.
Yeah, you got nice skin, but you're going to die. Well, you know, Doug, look at really, you know, big pharma does not. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
They don't produce a drug that actually heals the human body. They might. Everything that I've ever said, they're not designed to heal. They're designed to bring you back to the doctor's office in a month or 2 months down the road so they can give you another drug. If you look at doctors, medical schools, how much big pharma funds the medical schools? Well, you know, a doctor comes out of medical school, he's got a book of every disease in the human body, and then he's got another book of what is prescribed by the medical profession and big pharma to treat that disease. And if they don't follow that agenda, they really don't get the big tickets that they all get if they do follow it. They're the biggest hypocrites in the world because yep. They're supposed to be providing the best care possible. But if you look at the amount of deaths now in the United States of America from drug interaction, folks, you'd ask yourself, who are the criminals? And they're getting away with it. They're killing. What is the numbers right now in the United States of America, Doug? I just looked at them, and correct me if I'm wrong, but what I see is drug interaction now is the third biggest killer of people in the United States of America. But you don't hear that on their commercials.
And the number one killer in the United States are doctors.
Well, you know what's number four now from number eight? Respiratory disease.
Yeah.
Imagine that. From number eight in 2014, number four now, as the fourth biggest killer of people in the United States of America. Don't look over your skies, folks, because they're not spraying anything up there.
No.
Looking at your phone, because now you see a society that they're walking around and they're getting run over by vehicles because they're on their phone, that they're addicted. You go to a party, Doug, and there's 20 kids in the room, and they're not me. When I went to parties when I was a kid, man, I was in everybody's face. I wanted to know everybody. There, we're talking, blah, blah, blah. Now they're all sitting, talking to each other across the room on their phones.
I don't text it back.
It's like, okay, that's really good social interaction, buddy. But then, you know, I don't want to get into talking about gadgets because that, to me, is the biggest scourge in society now.
Well, and
kids don't interact anymore. There's no social development in our society. Everything's on a little tablet or a little phone.
How do you think?
Viral world.
How do you think social distancing, they jumped on that so quickly?
Well, yeah, and everybody bought it. Can you believe this crap? You see what they did in Toronto? They took a big field, folks, and they painted circles in the field so that when you're in that field, you've got to stay inside your circle because the police will arrest you, man. It's like, are you serious? Come on. We're in a really strange new world, Doug. I just can't believe this stuff, man. I can't. And people are buying it.
It's like Alice through the Looking Glass. You get up one morning and it was okay. You go to bed the next night and you get up and it's like, what the hell? Where am I? You know?
It really is. It's a strange, strange new world we find ourselves in. If we look just back 4 or 5 months ago, Doug, and, you know, all of this stuff has come in society so quickly, man. It's like it's designed, honestly, to keep society in a total state of chaos right now. And I see that effect. You lock people up in their houses, Doug, and what are they going to do? They're going to lose their mental ability to comprehend and function. And then you put a mask on their noses and faces so they can breathe in poison all day long. And they're buying this up and walking around as a society. And it's just like, what, we're in a zombie apocalypse. You know, when they brought that movie out, we all laughed, eh? I did. Yeah. When I watched that movie. But what do we got now, man?
Well, and
we're there.
And the stupid part of that is that those masks only do one thing. They keep you sick. They don't protect you against a virus. They keep the carbon dioxide that you keep having to breathe back in. Oh my God. I look at those people and I laugh as I walk down the street. I can't help myself for laughing at how absolutely Kool-Aid drunk they are.
I know.
Oh my God.
They're trying. But try and talk to him. And you don't like, No, you can't even get close to him, man. Like,
no,
hey,
I don't come.
Don't come. Hey, I'm going to call the cops. You're a threat to me. I ask people in my community here, Doug, do you know anybody? And I've said this to everybody. Do you know anybody that's been affected by this? Anybody? And I get the same answer everywhere. No one. Then why are we allowing this to go on? Does this not strike you as being a little bit odd? This is the new norm. That's all you hear now on TV, on the mainstream. This is the new norm. And you say that to people enough times, Doug, and they're going to accept it. It's like telling them about 9/11. You know, you tell the lie enough times and people believe it. And I see that. And people, it just blows me away that people can't think for themselves.
Yeah, but Barry, look what happened with they changed the name of hemp cannabis to a slang name for dope called marijuana.
Yes,
and
they did.
Then they integrated that into society through Hollywood. Oh, it's the killer weed. Oh, blah, blah. And they actually con people into believing that this beautiful plant known as hemp that could cure disease, that will keep you healthy if you're not diseased, that will put curtains on your curtain rod, bed sheets on your bed, paper in your books, fuel in your car, is somehow bad for you.
You know, Doug, I had the pleasure of meeting Rick Simpson in 2012 on a radio show. Okay, and I'm going to be quite honest with you. Up to that point in my life, I wasn't really paying attention to everything in the world of cannabis. But that man woke me up, man. He really woke me up. I had the pleasure of doing a tour in British Columbia in 2013 with Rick Simpson. I drove him all over British Columbia. We did 13 different venues. He got to speak at universities. I got to meet the coolest people in the world, people involved in the cannabis industry and the medical industry. And ever since then, when I really started to see what could be done, and then personally experiencing it in my own community, Doug, I've helped 7 people now kill cancer. And, you know, it's just they're talking to people now, and they're doing the same thing. And we really got to get the word out, because chemotherapy, the medical profession, the chemo drugs, everything that they're doing to us is just killing us. And we have the answers. This, you know, Rick said to me at one point, Doug, and I kind of chuckled when he said, you know what, this plant, if we embrace it, can literally heal the whole planet from the inside out. And I chuckled when he said that, but I don't chuckle anymore, because I absolutely believe there has never been a more truthful statement that we could make to people right now at this particular point, because we see what's happening to our environment. We see what's happening to species die off around the planet. We see all these toxins in our environment. It could all come to a stop, folks, if we fully embrace it. But we have to demand it, because the powers to be are never, they're going to do everything they can do to stop the information coming forward. And you're right about Canada now, Doug. The information is starting to come forward. I talk to people all the time now that are using CBD oils, and they're going, wow, unbelievable. How come we didn't know about this stuff 10 years ago? Well, the tide is turning, folks.
They didn't want you to know.
The tide is turning. You know what, Doug? It's really important now that we kind of share this information with people. You know, we talk about the medical benefits, but we're only talking about 50%. One of the biggest benefits of cannabis and the hemp plant is what it can do when we use that as a fiber product, as what we can do to detoxifying our soil. I could go on and on and on. There's a company, you know, in Calgary now that's producing a hemp-based building product, Doug, and you can build a stick frame, folks. You can build a stick frame construction house, or you can build with cannabis right now for the same price. But if you look at the comparisons between the two products, there is just absolutely no comparison between the qualities of the products. And I could go over a list of 15 different qualities right now where cannabis just blows wood right out of the door, and yet people still aren't embracing it. Doug, we've got to get that information out, because you know what will happen, Doug? If we start embracing this big time, well, what's going to happen? The demand for industrial hemp will grow, and farmers will be growing fields of it. And then they'll start reading about what happens to that field after 2 years of growing industrial hemp. What kind of a crop is going to be produced on that field? It would blow your mind. And also during that two-year course, folks, we're going to take all the toxins out of the plants that get in our plants now, because it's in our soil.
Right.
It's just that everything I talk about, when we get talking about this, Doug, it's a continuation of no-brainer solutions to everything that we're doing on the planet today. It really is.
I was lucky enough a few years ago now, quite a few years, to own a mining operation in a little place called Côte d'Ivoire. which is in West Africa. And we went in there. It was a alluvial mining operation. So we had shaker tables, et cetera, water. But I wanted to make sure, in order for us to secure our permits, that we had a reclamation project that we would follow in behind it. And dealing with the government over there, they actually was really interesting government. They were very interested in what we were doing and really wanted us to go up into the middle of the country is where the operation was. The community up there wanted us. And the presentation that we did, we were going to do reclamation of the mining site with hemp farming. And they were like, get out of here. Are you kidding? And I had drawn up what we were going to create fabric from the hemp. We were going to create coveralls from the fabric because what has Africa got? They got mining operations all across Africa. We would sell the coveralls to all the various mining operations all across Africa because cotton coveralls, they go through them about every 6 months. You put hemp coveralls on your workers, you replace them every 2 to 3 years.
Every 3 years. I was just going to say that, Doug.
They were like
incredible fiber.
They were getting the government was like, yes, here's your permits. We went through a mining permit process faster. The ministers who signed off on the permits, he says, wait a minute, this is 6 months. Nobody's ever gotten a permit here in Côte d'Ivoire in 6 months. Who do you know?
Here's one for you, folks. Go buy a hemp T-shirt and put on your cotton T-shirt, take it off, and then put on that hemp T-shirt, and your jaw will hit the floor.
Yeah.
It feels like you're putting on a second skin. I've only got 3 of them right now, but 2 of them I've had for 7 years now, and they look like the day I got them, Doug. They don't wear out, and I wear them all the time.
Levi Strauss, who made those blue jeans out in California, he used to make them out of hemp, but the cotton industry put out his hemp suppliers, and so he started to make them out of cotton, but they didn't last. And he almost went bankrupt for making cotton blue jeans. But because there was no other hemp around, because the hemp suppliers were basically put out of business by the cotton people. I mean, it's crazy. But you make a pair of coveralls, you make a pair of blue jeans out of them, you make T-shirts. You can make finer linen out of hemp than you can out of the finest Egyptian cotton.
I know. You've got to share that information with the public, Doug.
And by the way, the Egyptians back in the time of the kings and the pyramids, et cetera, back then, all of that, they used hemp. By the way, a piece of trivia for you. The very first Bible ever written, called the Sinai Bible, written in 380 AD, was written on hemp. And you want to go see that, it's on display in the British Museum. So, I mean, we've had this hemp for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. And the civilizations prior to this modern civilization have embraced this. Exactly. Which is and not as, let's go down to the corner and get stone, man. No, they embraced it for everything from cooking oils to putting into paints and et cetera, et cetera, along with, I mean, Betsy Ross, when she was creating the first flag for the United States, it was made out of hemp.
Yep.
How cool is that?
The Constitution was wrote on hemp paper, folks. The
original. No. No.
Am I wrong in saying that? I thought,
you are right. But they wrote the original Constitution was written on, when it was finalized and ratified, was put onto sheep's belly or sheepskin. Okay. I can't remember what you call that now. But yes, during the constitutional conventions, they would write the Constitution out on hemp paper. What wasn't then they could take it and throw it away or flip it over. Or actually, they also did. They washed it like a chalkboard, which because it was so durable.
Try and do that with any other paper product, man. Put it in the dryer. Put it in the dryer, and it'll be with the rest of your clothes. one of the biggest problems we have in our society, in our environment, our housing environments that we live in, believe it or not, and people don't realize that you're living in a very, very toxic environment. that building product continually emanate chemicals into your house for as long as you live in that house, and it never stops. But one of the biggest problems we have is the perpetration of white mold and black mold. Anytime yes. you have two wood products and you put them together and you put a little bit of water between those wood products, you're going to have black mold. And it is a silent killer, man. I did a study, or I did a course in Ontario when I was back there for a few years on black mold. And it is one of the most toxic things in our environment. And it's in our houses everywhere. Oh, but if you were to build a house, if you were to build a house that didn't allow that to happen, and this is a fact that a cannabis product does not allow the perpetration of white mold or black mold, well, what are you going to do for the in-house environment of people in the future? And that's just one of the things we talk about. We talk about a product that won't burn. Well, we think about that, Doug. I mean, would you imagine a society where our houses will not burn?
Well, and you can actually make...
That sounds like a good idea. That sounds like a good idea. What do you think?
It's amazing. But you can actually make plastics from hemp.
I know you can. It's biodegradable. It'll break down. Exactly. In a six-month period. So we can make plastic products, Doug, put them on the market, put a stale date on them. People use them. They put them in a landfill, and they help the earth.
Exactly.
Well, wait a second. Hold on. What am I missing here, buddy? One of the biggest problems we have on the planet is plastic, and they continue to produce it because it makes them billions of dollars. But we can turn that all around with a hemp-based plastic. Come on, guys. It's a no-brainer.
Well,
you know what? I'm going to let you say, but you know what, Doug? I look at it like it's our responsibility to embrace this because we know there's no doubt about the effects of plastic in our environment, that the plastic that's in our environment right now is going to be there for tens of thousands of years, and we got to put a stop to it. And here we have something that we could do, we could embrace and demand, and all of a sudden change it all around and do something good for the earth and detrimental. Man, it's a no-brainer. Go ahead.
And what I was going to say is, what a true environmentalist comparatively to a watermelon, because we call the environmentalists out there today watermelons. They're green on the outside and red in the middle.
Yeah.
I've got to give credit to Glenn Beck for that one. He wrote a book, Watermelons, and that's what he was talking about, the environmental movement, how it's been taken over by the communists. But a true environmentalist will embrace things like hemp, will embrace things like growing soy and cutting down the rainforest, or palm oil and cutting down the rainforest, they would embrace, how do we replant the rainforest? We're not talking about carbon dioxide being a poisonous gas. We're talking about carbon dioxide being the gas of life. So how do we increase the greenery on this planet? Because guess what they produce? They produce oxygen. Well, who needs oxygen more than anybody? We do. Hello, everybody. If you start growing hemp, you're going to increase the production of oxygen in the world.
You know what? Let's add to that, Doug. Why don't you go study the amount of oxygen deep breakdown, how much oxygen production we have actually lost in the last 40 or 50 years.
3%.
I've read seven different studies now on the amount of plankton that have actually died in the ocean since the amount of plankton that are in the ocean now as opposed to 1960. And you know that, and I know, Doug, that plankton produces about 60% of the oxygen we breathe on the planet. So if we've lost 50% now, and I've read multiple studies on this, that if we've lost 50% of the plankton that were in the ocean in 1960 are no longer there, how much of the oxygen production on the planet have we lost? And then combine that with the deforestation that's going on the planet, we're killing ourselves, folks, and it has to come to a stop.
Well, and this whole they say, well, we have 400 parts per million of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, and man,
that's pretty low.
Well, yeah, and man produces, okay, you're ready for this, 0.00059%.
We need a carbon tax, man. We're killing the planet, Doug.
Ideally, the carbon dioxide level on this planet should be between 3,500 and 4,000 parts per million. That's where it works ideally. That gives you the high oxygen, but you're the lush green plant. The food becomes very delicious again because we're taking out all of the low carb. You know that in greenhouses, they actually have to put in carbon dioxide into the greenhouses.
I do that when I'm growing cannabis.
Exactly. But they're growing tomatoes and cucumbers and all this other stuff. They're pumping into the greenhouses high amounts of carbon dioxide. Wonder why they do that. Oh, because we have 400 parts per million in the atmosphere, you bunch of dumbasses. Of course they have to increase them. Holy moly. You know,
And why do you have fans on the floor? Because carbon dioxide drops to the floor.
Well, so it's heavier than air.
You push it up and let it drop over the plant, and then you push it back up. You have a solenoid valve, a timer, and a flow meter, and every hour your bottle opens up, and you saturate that room with that stuff because your plants just love it. Well, I use it when I grow cannabis, Doug, so I'm aware of it.
Well, I often wondered how good old Al Gore gets so much carbon dioxide up in the atmosphere at 60,000 feet when the highest concentrations of carbon dioxide are only 10 feet off the ground. So unless we're, you know, oh, that must be causing global warming, you know, 4 feet above our heads. Oh, my goodness. What a bunch of crap. I mean, what has he gone and done? Work with Bill Gates to put little jet packs on all the molecules of carbon dioxide, send them up there?
That's nanotechnology for you, buddy.
That's Gates who wants to nanotech us all with his vaccines. I thought I'd throw that in there.
My body, the only way they'll ever get one, me and Doug, is if my body's dead, buddy. I'm telling you, that's where I will be drawing a line in the sand that I will not cross.
Well, here's the way I look at it is, if the doctor or if the guy that wants to give me the shot wants to take 5 shots all at once, I might consider taking a shot. But if he doesn't, then he can go fuck. Excuse my life.
He can
leave, or I'll leave.
Yeah. Well, there has to come a point where we draw a line, Doug, because medical tyranny is in our face, and we see it everywhere, ramping up right now. And we weren't going to talk politics today.
But it all comes back
to the same. It, in a roundabout way, it comes back to what we're talking about.
Here's what I've got to say. Okay, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 says, "And God created man, and God created man in his own image. And God gave man the dominion over the earth, all that creepeth across its surfaces, flieth in its skies, and swimmeth in its oceans." So what part of mandatory vaccinations do these people not understand? I'm a production of God. The only one that can give me a mandatory vaccine is God. Everybody else, to the back of the bus.
Exactly. Well, it's going to come to that point here in the very near future, because we listen to what Trudeau is saying in Canada about vaccines. And, of course, he's right in bed with Bill Gates. He's right in bed with the whole agenda. So that is going to come down the tubes. And, unfortunately, you know what? Still, at this time, I think a lot of Canadians will roll up their sleeves, even though the information's out there. And that kind of scares me, Doug.
Well, and that's sad, because they become the useless idiots at that. Or they're the useless idiots. But when they take the vaccine, they become the useful idiots become the useless eaters. And everybody knows that during the Russian Revolution, what happened to the useless eaters? They were walked out the back door, bullet in the back of the head, and thrown in the ditch. It's very similar. The bullet isn't in the back of the head; it's the jab in the shoulder that's going to put an end for that, because they have timers on it. These vaccines will be. You walk around the corner, walk 3 blocks, and drop dead. Drop dead.
Yeah. One of the things I talk with Roger a lot about, Doug, is nanotechnology and how far advanced they are with nanotechnology. Well, we know what they've got now, and what they've got now, it really boggles my mind. But then you know also, and we've said this many times, that their technology is 10 or 15 years ahead of what they have right now. So if we project that nanotechnology 15 years down the road from now, what do they have? We could say the same thing about hologram technology. I believe that will be a tool of great deception that they're going to unleash on the human race. I honestly believe that, because their hologram technology now blows my mind. Well, let's project that 15 years down the road. It could be a great, great mechanism of deception unleashed on the human race.
Well,
what you see with your eyes, you believe. But, what are they going to put in these vaccines? If that's the case with nanotechnology, Doug, they could be spraying it in our skies right now. It can be going into our lungs, and we have absolutely no idea that it is there.
Well, and the other side of this coin is, would you take a vaccine off a eugenicist?
No.
Well, that's what Bill Gates is. He's a card-carrying eugenicist. He says we need to depopulate the planet. Here, come over here so I can give you a vaccine.
How stupid. He stated it openly. How with his agenda.
stupid do you have to be to simply go, get out of my way, I got to get Bill Gates' vaccine put in me? He's a eugenicist. He's a known person that wants to murder people. So you're going to go up? It's like going to Jeffrey Dahmer over and going to Jeffrey Dahmer's place for an overnight sleep, you know? Holy moly!
Oh, well, you know, society doesn't seem to be the sharpest tools in the garage anymore. No. Yeah, you know, and why is that? What you know, that could be a subject for literally an hour conversation, yeah, on just what's happened to society over the last 30 or 40 years and why the brain is where it's at right now. And you know what? We have the solution for that, because this plant called cannabis has this molecule called the endocannabinoid signaling system, endocannabinoid cells that stimulate the endocannabinoid signaling system in the human body, which medical science has come forward now, Doug, and stated is the greatest discovery in medical history.
Yep.
And yet it's still only being taught in 13% of the universities in the United States of America. There's still a big push to keep this information away from people. But when you start understanding how that system works in your body and why cannabis was put on this planet for us to use, that I fully believe that my creator, my God, didn't put garbage on this planet, that everything he put here was meant to be used and embraced by the human race to offset diseases and to heal our bodies. And this, to me, is absolutely imperative that we embrace it, because we could put Big Pharma out of business, Doug. Literally, if people were taking, and Rick Simpson said this to me, and it's true, man, if we all had a jar of high-grade oil beside our bed, and every night before we went to bed, we took a third of a gram of that, you'd sleep like a baby, and your body would just love you. Every disease that it is used on in the human race now is it's having an effect on. We could talk about 200 different disorders that I have looked at reports on that it has amazing effect on. Like you said, Parkinson's, all these disorders are having incredible effects.
I'm going to give you another quote, okay, from the Bible. And it says, "And I will raise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in this land." Ezekiel 34:29.
Yeah, and there it is. A meek shall inherit the earth, Doug. That could be also played into what cannabis can do if we embrace it and hold the status quo to take a hike.
Well, exactly. And when you've got people in government, Krista Freeland is a card-carrying Malthusian eugenicist. She's a eugenicist. So when you get these people who are behind the scenes in Big Pharma as eugenicists, of course they don't want this information to come out, because why? It makes people live longer. Oh no, we're trying to depopulate the planet, get it down to some manageable slave. So we have some manageable slaves. We don't need to let people know how to live longer. Oh my God, no! Suppress that information. Get rid of this information. And that's the problem we're having, Barry, is that these guys that are in power today are eugenicists. Card carrying. They're coming out of the closet. Oh yeah, I'm a eugenicist. I'm, you know, blah blah blah. I'm a Malthusian. I'm this. And oh my God, you know, I'm a Fabian. I'm a collectivist. Yeah, okay. Abraham Lincoln had this wonderful expression when he was president. He said, "Anybody I hear arguing in favor of slavery, we should try it on them first." I've modernized it. This is from me. You can use this, ladies and gentlemen. "Anybody I hear arguing in favor of eugenics, I think we should try it on them first. And the world will probably become a better place without them in it anyway."
Crazy, crazy world when you look at the people that are running our civilization. Hey, Doug, I mean, these same people go to a place called the Bohemian Grove every year.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to people about that and they go, "What?" You know, it's a fact. This is what's going on at this meeting where they get together and they do some of the weirdest stuff that you could ever possibly imagine. And these are the people that are running our world today. But it doesn't surprise me, because they're all, in my opinion, from the pits of hell, Doug. And I don't know how else to describe these people.
No,
they're not people. They don't have a soul. They don't care. They're evil. I look into Krista Freeland's eyes and I see nothing but evil in that woman. And look at the position of power now she's getting into Canada.
She runs the country. She's deputy prime minister
right now. Deputy prime minister. Why did Trudeau appoint her? Of course.
Well, why did they lock him up? He's locked up.
He hasn't showed his face. Get a load of this, folks. I can't find a situation where Trudeau has been outside of his house in how many days now, Dave? Or Doug, I think it's like...
It's almost three months, isn't it?
87 days.
Yeah, he almost 3 months.
Come out, he has not come out of his house.
But all 90 days is 3 months. Tent.
Yeah. So what's going on there, folks? What?
Yeah.
I don't get it. Why are you staying in your house? Come on, it can't be that bad, Justin. Yeah, well, there's lots of stuff going on behind the scenes that we're not privy to right now. Well,
Chris Freeland has been running the country ever since. She's deputy prime minister, and I saw her in a rare parliamentary Q&A that they did a couple of months ago as this lockdown was taking place. And the guy asked the same question to her four times, and she dodged around the question. And finally, the guy just says, okay, I got another question for you. You ain't going to answer that one. Answer this one. And then she started to do this little dance. But, oh, my God, I was just like, somebody, please, where's an AR-15 when you need it?
Masculinity.
Put her out of her misery. Oh,
it's almost embarrassing. It's almost embarrassing to watch, Doug. But that's our Canadian government in 2020, folks. We are in trouble up here, believe me. But then the whole world is in trouble right now, Doug. We see the same agenda being played out everywhere. It's amazing, you know, this first hour has gone by. This hour has gone by really, really quick, Doug. I had a list. Well, yeah, it's already gone. We've got 4 minutes left here. I know, and I had a list of things here I wanted to talk about today, and I haven't even touched the top of the list, but that usually happens because we get talking and we get going in different directions, and you know what? Everything we talk about all comes back to the same thing.
Well,
that it's all pieces of a puzzle that are coming together right now in front of our face.
Well, I hope the people that were listening today did take something away from this conversation, because we did mainly talk about hemp and the cannabis stuff. And ladies and gentlemen out there in the listening audience, please go look this stuff up. Do your own research. Start your own hemp growth in your backyard. It's hemp. You don't need to have a cannabis license to grow this stuff. And start using this stuff. It's crazy. So long as you're growing without THC in it, They don't care.
Yeah, you can embrace it fully right now in your own backyard or any kind of situation where you've got land, and the benefits are just amazing. Hey, Doug, before you go, where can people find you? The Mythic Canada, let's talk about that for a minute. We'll have to shut it out.
Yeah, Doug Force from The Myth is Canada. The Myth is Canada is at themythiscanada.ca. We're on Facebook at The Myth is Canada. We're on Brighteon at The Myth is Canada. We're on YouTube. Nephilim Films presents The Myth is Canada. We're on D-Line. D-Line, BitChute. All kinds of Twitter at The Myth is Canada. We are doing Zoom calls now. We're teaching people. We're just getting into Mod 1 with John and Catherine. Brenda and I are finishing Mod 1 this Monday, and we're moving to Mod 2 on Thursday. So people, you can email zoombrenda20@yahoo.com to get involved for the next module. John and Catherine have posted all over Facebook for their Mod 1 call coming in next Wednesday. And participate. Get involved. Start learning. Great information. History that you've never heard before. We're exposing the fact that these guys are de facto. We need to take back what has always been ours anyways. We need to embrace things like hemp and cannabis, shaga, all of these things. This is natural. We need to go back to embracing the natural to the unnatural. One more quick thing. Did you know there are 600 what they call forever chemicals created by chemical companies and pharmaceutical companies and petrochemical companies? One of them is called Teflon. Now, what does it mean for a forever chemical? It means, my friend, that they last forever in the environment or in your body if it comes into your body. This is man-made. 600
Not six, 600. How crazy is that?
Unbelievable. Hard to wrap your mind around. Well, look, we're out of time, Doug, and I really would love to have another hour with you right now because I really enjoy your passion and your understanding and your concern for what's going on in the world and embracing these solutions that we talked about. Well, I hope people do take something away from this today, because if there were ever a time in history, folks, that we need to embrace this, if we want to see a future for our children, I honestly believe that this is something that we can all embrace and start using in our lives and explore and spend time looking into some of the things that we talked about today and how you can use that in your own world. It'll make a catastrophic change in our world. And I honestly believe that if we are going to have a future in this planet right now, and I don't consider myself a fear-mongering type of person at all, I really look at what's going on in the context of the planet and the environment, that if we don't make changes, it doesn't look good for the future. And here is something that we could all really make a big change for our children and our children's children. Thanks for, you know, I'm going to say one other thing before I go, guys. I was planning, I've been getting some calls from up north. I might be here for another week or 10 days before I go. I've been told now on the 15th of June that the Yukon is going to open up to Morels. And if that's the case, I'm going to be here for another week. So I will be back next week, same time, same place. I know I told you I was going away, but things have changed a little bit. So I will be back next week. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Doug, for coming in. Really enjoyed our conversation.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, my friend. And I will be back, guys, next week. So I'll have a couple. I'm going to have Vinny Eastwood in next week. So tune in, and we'll have a conversation about the insanity in New Zealand. So bye for now.